Hey everybody, you're listening to Beyond 1894. This is the official podcast of Louisiana Tech University. I am Gavin Kelly from the Office of University Communications, and we are joined for this episode by Dr. Lindsay Vincent from the College of Education and Human Sciences. She is the director of the Science and Technology Education Center, SciTech as it's called, and she's also the Associate Dean of Research, Outreach, and Innovation over there in the College of Education and Human Sciences. Lindsay, thanks for being here with us today.
I'm excited to be here. You finally talked me into it after a couple of requests, so I hope I don't let you down. I didn't crush cars like Terry McConathy or, you know, break ground as the first African-American dean like Devonia, but I will try to share some insights.
Yeah, and I think, you know,
information.
Even though that may be the case, I think, you know, you have a unique tech story, and I think that's part of the many goals of this podcast is to kind of talk to individuals who have been here and are here about kind of their tech story. And it's obvious speaking with you that you have an affinity for the college, you have an affinity for the university, and it ties back to, you know, your time as a student, I'm guessing, right? Like your love for tech and your loyalty goes back a long way, I think. So take us to the beginning and kind of tell us about Lindsay deciding to go to Louisiana Tech. What, you know, picking a major, picking a path, because it led you here. So tell us about those beginnings.
So I never wanted to be at Tech. Period.
Gotcha. Where are you from?
So I'm from Swartz, which is right outside of Monroe. And while Tech was on the list of schools I could attend, it was so close. And the idea of extending high school and not really launching or taking off or writing my own story, it just wasn't an option for me. I wasn't passionate about the place, and I didn't really know yet about the amazing people. And so I went to Northwestern to start my academic journey. I did dance line there, was in Greek life. I had a great experience. What was at Tech that was not at Northwestern was a handsome man named Matthew Vincent.
Oh, okay.
And so he was here, a student in the College of Engineering and Sciences. And when he proposed, I quickly came to Tech, not sure what I would be doing, but knowing I would be
so
here.
So how'd you guys meet if you were at different universities?
So we actually grew up together.
Okay, gotcha.
Went to high school together, and we were dear friends, but it escalated.
Blossomed, some would say.
Yeah. That's it. And so he proposed, and I wanted to be where he was. I didn't know a whole lot about the opportunities here, or as I noted earlier, the people here that really make
what
Tech
a studying?
Special place. So that, too, is an interesting story. I had interest in PR and marketing. I had looked at psychology. I thought about pre-law at one point. But my future mother-in-law said, why don't you take an education course? Just take one course, see if there's any interest. And so I did that. So when I did that, they actually enrolled me in the education program at Northwestern. So when I transferred to Tech, they transferred me into the College of Education. So fast forward 20 years later, a place that I now call home was a space that I really was dropped into because of registration in one class. I'm grateful that it happened that way, but to share that there was intentionality would not be true because my goal was to get to where Matthew was. And spoiler alert, it worked out. I'm really grateful it did. And we've been together since, you know, since then, and have two babies that have benefited from the blessing of being on this campus. So I'm grateful to be here, but it was not part of the plan I wrote.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah.
So I guess once that happens, once you're here and in a kind of a new major that you didn't originally plan on following through with, at what point do your sort of career goals after graduation, that sort of thing, start shaping up? You know, because eventually, you know, along this journey, you end up with a doctorate and this and that. So like, walk us through kind of that path.
So, Gavin, I still don't know what I want to do when I grow up.
Fair enough.
I think that it's really important now to be a lifelong learner and to be open to what is and what could be. There's so many careers and opportunities that we have no idea about that are going to be available tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important, and I try to live by this, that you acquire skills and competencies and you foster the ability to interact with humans and to learn from them, because there's not a specific academic program, I think, that will completely prepare you ever
right.
for whatever it is you're going to do. Now, my mama did not give me an option about post-secondary education. I'm a first-generation college completer.
Okay.
She took a couple of courses, but she was working, she was being a mom, and it was just really difficult for her to have those opportunities to finish that degree. But I never knew that college was not an opportunity or an expectation for me. In fact, it was an imperative that she often preached. She remains to this day, even though I know some brilliant people, the smartest human I've mm-hmm. ever met. And so I think it's really important to me personally for people who are that smart and talented to have resources and opportunities and access. And I'm still trying to recruit her to start an academic program. So, I came to Tech because I followed Matthew. Mm-hmm. He was here. And then I had a series of doors that just flew open once I had the keys to them. And typically those keys were training or education or learning more. My first job here was at the Holiday Inn Express. So Johnny Maxwell and Patsy Bullock gave me a chance here. I'd worked at hotels and customer service at Northwestern. And so when I came here, I needed a job. Mm-hmm. So I worked there. And through that opportunity, I had a chance to do sales and marketing for that hotel group. And through that opportunity, the door flew open to meet folks from SciTech who were leading Gear Up grants and projects and activities. So they asked me after those interactions to be a student worker in their division in the College of Ed and Human Sciences. So I worked as a student worker. I did birthday parties at the Idea Place. And it's just been a series of those kinds of moments that have allowed me to progress. So once I served in that role through grant work and some of the operating activities of the college, there became a chance for there to be a museum educator hired in that space. You had to be a science teacher, though, to have that job. Well, I was going to school to be an English teacher. I've always loved English and literature, and I had a number of teachers throughout my life who poured into me that were passionate about that content. And so I was not a science teacher yet. I went ahead, finished my undergrad, got my teaching degree, taught at Ruston for a short time, and simultaneously got biology certification so I could be that science teacher to walk through that door of opportunity that was that job as museum educator. And served in that role for a while, did everything from make hot dogs at Space Days with Drs. Touton and Beer and Basinger and a great group of individuals. Dr. Dozot was dean at the time, so I had a chance to learn lots from her about ladies in leadership. But she also was an advocate and supporter that gave me access maybe to opportunities that I wouldn't have had if I had not had a chance to form that relationship. Served in that role a while, and then in about 2012, had the opportunity to step in as director of the Science and Technology Education Center, the very division where I'd started as a student worker, doing birthday parties and connecting with campus leadership, driving Sam Wallace nuts, asking him if I could drop eggs off the top of Wiley Tower for an egg drop experiment.
Do you still drive Sam Wallace nuts?
You'll have to ask Sam Wallace. Okay. But it really does take everybody on campus, whether they're an academic division or a support division, to make those experiences available to folks. And my service as director of SciTech has really allowed me to better understand the interconnectedness of all the divisions and why buildings and grounds is as important as athletics or the academic enterprise, because collectively we've all got to make sure that folks know we're here and we're doing good work and help us support the students who are coming through. So, served as director, still do to this day, but I'll be real honest with you, that almost didn't happen. So 2012 was a really big year for a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons is a couple of weeks around when I found out this opportunity might be available, I also learned I'd be a mom for the first time.
Wow, okay.
And so it's really important to me. Family is really important to me. And so I felt almost like I had to make a choice that it was this important job that helped me help people, or I had to be the type of mom that I wanted to be. And my voice is cracking a little bit. Sorry about that.
It's all right.
But I called my mama.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's one of those mama call moments. And I asked her, you know, what do you think I should do? And she said, well, do both. And that seems like a really simple statement, but it was so powerful because it was a reminder for me that you can. Mm-hmm. You can be that mom you want to be. You can pour into your community, but you can also have a professional role that allows you to support students, faculty, and the broader campus community. And we don't have to choose. There are ways to support people and help them balance those roles. So as a mom now, I think about the opportunities my children have had because of my role at Tech. You know, there are faculty in the College of Education and Human Sciences that were Nana Dawn and Doc Don. And so they had whiteboards and they had candy in their office and they had hugs for my kids when they came through. And they were flexible with me and allowed me to have a baby bed in my office if I needed it. Or, you know, a day at the house to take some of those Zoom calls so I could also take care of the kiddos if they were sick. And so they've hung out in spaces with Kim Mulkey and Terry Bradshaw. They've seen performances with world-renowned, you know, stage combat fighters because they've had access to liberal arts. Mardi Gras Mambo in front of College of Business. Just things they would not have had opportunities to be part of or have access to if I had not served in that role. So I was grateful she said that that day, and I'm grateful that I made the decision to try to do both. But that's not done in a vacuum. You have to have a culture in a community that recognizes the value of your work and is willing to lean in and provide those supports so that you can do all the things. And I think I probably work harder and do more because I understand that that's not the norm and how blessed I've been to have that. And so another benefit of those relationships and that work in this campus are the Early Childhood Center here for pre-K and then our A.E. Phillips Laboratory School.
Right.
Gavin, I don't know if you know it or not, but the AEP Lab School was actually just recognized as a Blue Ribbon School by Secretary Cardona.
Didn't know
and
that.
So, I mean, if you're recruiting faculty and staff, lead with the opportunities, you know, that those individuals will have to pour into their families in addition to pouring into our campus. It does make a difference and it gives us a competitive edge. So I appreciate you know, Dr. Blaylock and her team there and what they've done. Ms. Moeller at the Early Childhood Center and her group, they've really, you know, made that a 4-star, 5-star space where people really know they're not just dropping their kids off to be watched. They're dropping their kids off to be engaged and inspired and prepared for whatever it is that their life's bringing them. So anyway, served as SciTech director, had all those blessings.
And
that
also, just as a side note,
you
know, we've touched on like timing and things that are supposed to happening and things working out how they're supposed to. And, you know, it's March right now at the time of this recording and it's Women's History Month. And you talk about, you know, sort of being a mom, being, you know, a professional at the same time, concurrently, that sort of thing, while it was the option that made sense for you, it's a viable option, I have to imagine it comes with its own set of challenges, and like it takes a certain kind of strength to do those things together. So just in the sense of women empowerment and that sort of thing, the timing seems right. You know, you touch on that topic and, you know, just pointing that out. So, like you said, it was an option for you, and it's an option for a lot of people, but you know, just do both, just be a professional, be a mom. Easier said than done, I'm sure. But you know, it paid off, like you said, and it works out. And it's funny because the most recent episode of this podcast with Dr. Judith Roberts, she mentioned the same thing about her kids growing up in Ruston and essentially at Tech and having opportunities that they wouldn't have otherwise because of that. So just an interesting sort of theme that runs through some of these podcasts sometimes.
Yeah. And I appreciate that. And I thank you for making that point, because I do think sometimes we forget, and this is not just for women, it's for men who are parents too, mm-hmm. that, you know, that is real life. So we either have to figure out how to have work-life integration and support that, or we lose some of the key people on this campus that are making big differences, doing projects and programs that really do support the Tech family. And so I've been really grateful that this has been a campus that's embraced and valued that. So,
tenants of Tech and all that. And
that's it.
Okay, so you just brought up the phrase Tech family. We talked to some of our guests about this sometimes too. It means different things to different people, but there is a similarity to its meaning for everyone, kind of that brings it up. So apart from the literal sense of Tech family, mm-hmm. and the sense of you raising your children in this area and that sort of thing, in terms of your colleagues and the relationships you've built in the College of Education and Human Sciences, talk about kind of how Tech family, the meaning of it's changed for you over the years.
Sure. So I talked to you a little bit about my mama. Mm-hmm. I think it's important you know a little bit about my daddy.
Okay, let's go.
So Mom is by far the smartest human on this planet, in my opinion. My dad is probably the kindest human on this planet, and the people part is really important mm-hmm. for him. And so from him, I have learned and continue to that piece is the central piece in anything you do. Understanding the people that you're serving, figuring out what makes them tick, and helping them reach their goals. So you talked a little bit about my title. I think that my work may be better described in a line or two, not necessarily a position, because whether mm-hmm. I'm in those roles or any,
right.
I think my goal professionally is to find really great people, really brilliant people with good ideas, and then connect them with resources or opportunities to execute that or do those things that they've dreamed up. And so I think in order to be able to do that, I have to work on listening and identifying ways that I can plug people together to help them meet those goals and do that work. So our College of Ed and Human Sciences is filled to the brim with remarkable humans. Actually, our whole campus is. Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking about service in that college, but more broadly, you know, we connect with folks from student services. You know, we work with Dr. Crawford and his team. We work with all five of the academic colleges on campus and faculty from those. One of my first projects here on campus was working with Dr. Lee Sawyer. We actually connected on professional development for teachers at the Laser Interferometer Gravitational Wave mm-hmm. Observatory.
That just rolls off the tongue, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was such a unique experience mm-hmm. because remember, I went to school to be a high school English teacher. So to talk about particle physics and then to spend time with an individual who helps discover, you know, the Higgs boson particle, mm-hmm. those are opportunities and access that if I hadn't been at Tech, I would not have been afforded. And so I worked with Lee, but I also worked with some of the very folks now that work with me in our division, Diane Madden. You know, I shared an office with Missy Woolley in the gym, next to the gym, what was the idea place, for a very long time. And so folks like Missy, we collaborated on those early projects. And even though time and talents have taken us to different locations, now we're back together and we're doing meaningful work in STEM education, in our SciTech division, and more broadly in the College of Education. It's people with a shared passion, like in kinesiology. Think about Allison Reichter. Mm-hmm. You know, she has created an academic program for health coaching. She came to us from Iowa. But not only has she created this academic program, she's built opportunities for us to administer surveys to figure out what the health and wellness needs on our campus are. Mm-hmm. And then she's using that academic program to prepare our kinesiology students to be those near-peer mentors and coaches for our students on campus who need help. So the types of humans that serve on this campus and in our space, they're good people, and they're motivated by the right things. They want to help others. And so it's really easy to gravitate towards those types of individuals that want to do work, not necessarily to advance themselves, but to advance, you know, society in general. And so it's really easy to want to bring people like that into your family and call them dear friends and colleagues. And you mentioned Judith. I mean, Judith, Jamie Newman. Mm-hmm. There are so many people on this campus that we are colleagues, but we're also dear friends outside. And I think that further explains the level of connectedness that allows for a level of opportunity and progress that maybe some of these other places don't allow for, because our worlds are so intertwined and interconnected, not only with the work we do in our separate disciplines, but the work and the lives that we're leading outside campus too. So, I do love working with the humans who are on this campus. And I have a really short list of people that I probably wouldn't want to sit and have coffee mm-hmm. with. But it's a really, really, it's a really short list. I mean, they're remarkable people with fascinating stories that have led them here. And for whatever reason, each day they choose to come on campus and be part of this work. And so, yeah, they're part of this family and this culture and this quilt that we've kind of built.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. That's poetic. I like that. Talking more about, you know, the work, you know, you just mentioned mm-hmm. some of the work. Let's talk about College of Education and Human Sciences. Again, we talked with Don on his episode last year about that name change. At the time, it was pretty recent. So, but it makes sense, you know, go from College of Education and Human Sciences. You know, it kind of, you know, he talked about how it's more indicative of the overarching work and the people that come out of that college and the programs that are offered there. So, kind of give us a sort of State of the Union address about the college. You know, tell us about some of the important things that are going on right now. I know we've got a new dean incoming. That's a big one. Talk about the College of Education for us.
Sure. Well, I'll start with the new dean.
Yes, please.
We are thrilled about Dr. Pichon coming. I'm not sure if you know it or not, but she's actually a tech grad.
She is. Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that was really important to many of us in the College of Ed and Human Sciences is that there was an appreciation for the work that was taking place, but experience and a vision that could take us to the next level. She's a first-generation college completer, mm-hmm. and she understands what our values are on this campus, what the culture is, but bringing that experience as dean from two other universities, there are processes and policies and ideas that she can bring to help advance that work and support our faculty and staff. You want a State of the Union as far as the College of Ed and Human Sciences? How's it go? They say the state of the college is strong, right?
Okay, there you go.
So this is a tidbit that I would shout from the mountaintops if they'd let me. I guess this is the mountaintop. But we are second only to the College of Engineering and Science right now with the amount of grant funding that we're bringing into this university. And I'm so proud of our faculty and staff for the work they're doing. We have less faculty and staff than many of the other colleges on campus, yet their diligence and persistence has really paid off. There's funding in place in our Department of Curriculum Instruction and Leadership. Mm-hmm. Dr. Karis Cummins has a $4 million grant right now. It's huge. And what's more exciting than the monetary value of the partnership is the impact that it's going to have on the state. Every kindergarten through second grade teacher in the state of Louisiana is going to have access to these modules that are being developed in our college. And so I think it's really important for us to stop and celebrate those moments and what that means, not only for our learners now that have access to engaging in those opportunities, but what it means for those young children that one day may or may not be Bulldogs, but are still going to be citizens and part of our communities. So that's a great project that's taking place right now. We also, in psychology, have some of our fairly new faculty. Dr. Casey Minnie is working with the Naval Research Laboratory on some interesting research. She also just submitted a proposal for the Louisiana Cancer Research Center. And so when you talk about the name change for our college, certainly the activities that take place in teacher preparation are critically important to the college. It was really important, though, that we also express the importance of all the divisions in our college, such as kines or psychology. And now we have friends that are moving in with us from applied and natural sciences and those academic programs. We really needed to better capture what it is we do and make sure we could tell that story with our name and then also the work. We also have a center within our College of Education and Human Sciences. It is the Professional Development Research Institute on Blindness. And so Dr. Bell has had research that's been, you know, showcased at the United Nations. And so being able to tell those stories, advocate for the work that's happening in those spaces, it's a lot easier to do when we have a name that reflects that. So excited about that. Grateful to Dr. DeSales for leaning in the interim till Dr. Pichon comes. And Dr. Schillinger did a great job of setting us up as a college for success. Another strength in our college in the academic enterprise is Dr. Jane Jacob. We have been so grateful to have her in that role. And I've really tried to work with her and figure out how we can better leverage both sides of the house so we can, you know, better support faculty and staff, but come up with some innovative solutions to solve some of the challenges that come up when you're helping lead a college. Yeah. So, yeah, the people make a difference, and you spend more time here on campus than you do at home. So it makes it a lot easier when you like the folks and feel like they're on the same team.
Yeah, and it's good. You know, a lot of the names you just mentioned have been on this podcast. And so it's good to hear you all sing similar praises about the work that's being done over there. And, you know, just in my experience, and I would venture to say anyone who's, you know, crossed your path here knows that you could give a tour of the college all day long. You could talk about each department in depth. You could talk about each person in depth, and you're passion for it's very evident. So I'm thankful for the work that you do here. I'm glad you made time for us today on the podcast. Lindsay, thank you again.
Thank you, Gavin.
Thank you for listening to Beyond 1894. Please subscribe and rate us wherever you listen to podcasts. For more information about this episode, you can check out our show notes. Beyond 1894 is produced by Louisiana Tech University's Office of University Communications.